Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Hannah Murray here. You're listening to Men Talk.
TRE in the afternoon. Presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Hedley Smith and Michael Senker. If you want to get involved, here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
What a beautiful day. It's a wonderful life.
How are we, chaps?
Very good. Thank you, Hannah. Thanks for inviting me again.
A pleasure.
Lovely.
Oh, very well, thank you.
Good.
All things considered.
I feel a bit under pressure today, though.
Why?
I have to say, because there's only two of us.
I know.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like, think of things to say, which, you know, I figured, knowing the two of you, I thought you'd be fine.
And I didn't realise I was invited to talk with Mr. Grumpy.
Well, there you go.
There you go, Michael.
I can't compare with you. You're off the scale. You after you told me what you just done, you've just come back from. I'm just sitting here humbled.
Yes, we'll talk about that actually. I've got an article here talking about... like vegan sausages, basically. That's what we're going to
no
talk
such
about.
Thing.
So there's a guy here who said, to me, a carnivore, a vegan toad in the hole sounds as much fun as having a root canal work undertaken by a blind dentist. As the great cookery writer Nigel Slater says of this classic British dish, the recipe stands or falls by the quality of the sausage you use. That was his thought until he tried it. He doesn't say what particular brand this vegan sausage was, but he said it's actually not as bad as he thought. Now, no vegetarians or vegans here, no?
No.
I'm not either, but I do eat a lot of vegan products. And I love vegan sausages, I have to say, because you don't get gristle in them. So
they're
also
not sausages.
Well, this is another thing that's brought up in the article.
It's not a sausage.
But isn't a sausage, isn't there an argument to say, like, a sausage would be like a shape? Because you can say, like, a sausage shape. So it looks like a sausage.
Okay, you could say, this is a vegan sausage shape. It should be on the packaging. I don't want a tofu sausage. It's got to be pork,
right.
Beef, or something else that had a mother.
Oh, that's awful. How could you say that? That's terrible.
It all depends where you get your sausage from, doesn't it? I mean, if you get them horrible, you're not allowed to say a brand name, are you? Well, you know them frozen ones you get?
Yeah.
Them sort of horrible ones.
Well, right.
Them Wolves. Oops, did we just say that out loud?
There's other horrible makes available.
Yeah, exactly.
No, as compared to a really nice sausage, by the way, from your local butcher.
A nice Lincolnshire
or a Cumberland or something like that.
Yeah.
What's that other one you're using at the moment? Oh, my butcher made down the road does great sausages. However, somebody told me the other day about these vegan sausage rolls in Greg's that have just come out, and I didn't realise the success.
They are really good.
Of this sausage roll. Apparently, it's taken Greg's to a whole new level.
Yeah.
What?
They're really good. People don't know.
What, curb level?
No, I swear. We got some, and I can't remember what the event was, but we had people over to our house, and we got vegan sausage rolls and chopped them up and gave them out to a load of meat eaters. And they were like, oh, I love these sausage rolls. Where'd you get them from? And we told them they were vegan and they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And they've got to do the whole thing. The pastry's got to be vegan. Yeah. And it's just... Yeah. Okay.
Mm. But
apparently the share value of Greggs went through the roof once they launched this vegan sausage roll, because it's one of the biggest items they've now got in the all of the outlets, of which there are thousands.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's the thing is, how do you know someone's vegan?
Because they won't start talking about it.
Because within the first 30 seconds, they've told you.
Yes. Well, I eat a lot of vegan products. My mum was vegan and a passionate vegan and did talk about it, so I can totally relate. But I eat a lot of vegan food, and there are some really good products out there, I think.
Okay.
So if you can find an alternative to an animal product that you like the taste of, why not switch it up a bit?
I think a vegan tour in the hole could work, really, couldn't it? Because it's, you know, it's all about the onion gravy and the mash.
Yes, exactly.
What's the gravy
and the
made
gravy.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Vegan gravy. I mean, you're going to get caught out somewhere along the line. You're going to get caught out, you know, even if it's you put what shoes you're wearing when you're eating it. I mean, it's you've got a leather belt on or some, you know.
Well, there's, the alternatives are out there, and if you sort of need to make the effort or want to make the effort,
but
you can.
Why would I?
You don't have to.
No, I'm just asking. I don't understand what the benefits of being a vegan are.
Well, there is an argument that there's lots of benefits. There's an argument. Well, I didn't think we were going to get into this, but there's, you know, saving the planet. Obviously, you're not harming any animals, and it's healthier, and there's so many reasons.
Okay. That's certainly saving of the planet. I'm not big on that either. I mean, I am big on it. I want to save it. But there's a bigger problem, which is that most of the, like, China is the biggest country in the world, and India is the second. You know, there's got so many people there that
loads of issues. Yeah,
that overtake so much.
Issue.
It's like me not having a meaty sausage roll, I don't really think it's going to save the world.
No, correct. No, I understand that. It's everyone together. But we could say that about recycling. You could say it, but, you know, if I chuck my bottle in the normal bin, it's not going to make much difference. But if everybody said that, then no change. No,
but the problem is the countries that are so widely populated, if they're not doing it, it is actually no use you sending yours in the bin.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
If you've got 400 billion...
But India's mostly vegetarian. India, they don't eat much meat in India at all.
But they don't look for vegan sausage rolls, that's for sure.
No, they'll just have vegetables and things. Exactly, which is also something we can do. But no, I just thought it was an interesting thing to bring up, that the alternatives, even if you're... It's not about necessarily going vegan if you don't want to, but having an alternative every so often.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. Yeah.
As long as I have me gravy on the top, I'll be fine. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Have gravy. No
problem. Oxo gravy.
So there was an article here about sleeping, which made me laugh. I thought it was an interesting one to talk about. So Trini, do you remember Trini and Susanna?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So she has like a blog, a kind of style makeup kind of lifestyle blog. And she was giving all these tips on different ways to help yourself go to sleep.
Drugs.
And I thought they all seemed really weird. So I thought I'd ask you, A, if you had trouble sleeping, and B, what you would do about it, and whether you'd try any of these things.
Well, I always have trouble sleeping if I've had chocolate or cheese or an Indian.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought
cheese was a whole myth.
No, no, the cheese thing.
Cheese and chocolate nightmares.
Nightmares. Yeah, you're like, oh my, you're up dreaming all sorts of weird stuff if you have cheese and chocolate. Yeah, and Indian food as well. That's another one that gets me dreaming badly.
Okay.
And Chinese doesn't work that well either.
Yeah, but so, I think that's probably the MSG.
Yeah, I always ask for
MSG will give you night horrors. I mean,
Whenever I order Chinese, it's whinjin. It sounds like whinging. It's whinjin in Spain.
Good,
I always say sin whinjin.
Yeah, is that what it's in Spanish?
Yeah, sin whinjin.
Because we say sin MSG.
MSG, yeah. I say in Spanish, it's whinjin.
Whinjin.
So what is she advising to go to sleep?
Well, so one of the things is massage your feet.
Mm.
tap your inside leg.
You've got to get someone to do that for you, though.
Well, yeah, that
tap your inside leg.
Tap your inside. You know this tapping thing. Tapping your inside. There's a picture of these two women standing there. Oh, I'm not going to stand up and show you, but you can imagine tapping their inside leg.
Right.
Okay.
And apparently that helps. Sing to your body.
Singing.
Singing.
Right.
Soak your feet with salts.
Hmm. I get that one. That could work.
Yeah, well, like a bath, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
yeah, that could work.
Kind of.
I have a problem. I actually really do have a problem sleeping. I have tinnitus.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah.
Right. And I listen to music every night. So I've got Alexa next to me, and I just say, but I don't listen to lullabies. Like the last couple of nights, because he died, I've been listening to Jeff Beck. Which is not quiet.
Yeah.
Right, and I set it for half hour, 40 minutes. Never heard the end of the. Never heard it switch it off. Never.
Always fall asleep.
And AC/DC. I've been listening to Thunderstruck.
Really? Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be cool, calm music.
Yeah. And also, I found out something great about Alexa now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got that monotonous voice.
Yeah.
But I've set mine to an Asian woman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So Alexa, I now speak to Alexa, and it's like having an Asian woman in the room.
How lovely.
And she answers me.
Brilliant. Whatever keeps you happy, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Easily satisfied me. No. So I listen to all. I've got it all set up on Spotify. I've got favourite songs.
And do you have it in your ears?
No, I have it playing.
So Patty has to listen to it as well?
No, we don't sleep in the same room.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So that she doesn't have to listen to the music.
That's because of my other habits in the night. I'm a thrasher and a. Because of my disorder, my psychological disorder with my legs.
Yes.
I thrash. So
okay, fair enough.
It's got to keep out of the way.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So for you, it's just food, is it? Different food things?
If I eat late at night and eat stuff like that, it keeps me awake, certainly. But no, and also I think as well, if you drink too much sometimes, that keeps you awake because you don't sleep properly, do you?
No, exactly.
Yeah, so if I've had a bit of a skinful, I find myself sort of waking up quite a bit during the night. Primarily
the night
got the
after.
Toilet. But
yes.
Yeah, but it's drinking too much keeps you awake, really, because you don't properly sleep, do you?
Mm. I often find the night after having had too much to drink, finding it difficult to sleep.
So that'll be most nights for you then, is it?
No. Not at all. I was saying to someone today, I haven't had any alcohol since last week.
Amateur. Amateur. I haven't had any alcohol for 25 years.
Oh, you win. Very good.
That was a terrible thing because the thing was that is actually I would fall asleep anywhere. You know, I'd be left in, people would be going home and I'd be sitting in the armchair and they'd have to come and collect me in the morning.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, that's not good.
I've had a message here from Nick who sent me a photograph saying, I recommend this book. And it's a picture of a woman asleep on the train with a book in her hand called How to Sleep Well. So that works. Read a book about sleeping and it'll put you to sleep. Okay, one more and then we'll do an ad break. This is to do with hand gestures that are apparently uncool. No, we don't need to go down the rude thing. So playing.
So we won't be covering the ones when people cut me up on their car.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's still cool. That's fine. Playing air guitar. Don't do. Who does that?
I've never done that ever.
Really? I know. That's absolutely one of them. Giving a double thumbs up. I feel like I might do that sometimes.
No, I've never done that one either.
What's that for?
When I was 15, maybe.
What? Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Double thumbs up.
Like, if someone's like, well done, like, yeah, well done, nice one. I don't know. It feels stupid doing it now.
But when do you use it?
I don't know.
I think you'd use a double thumbs up when your kids are in, you know, like in
school, when they're doing
school sports day or something.
Exactly, you're saying well done.
Double thumbs up, yeah.
That's great. What's wrong with that?
Oh, apparently it's uncool.
Who cares about, who defines what's cool?
The Daily Mail.
I so nearly swore there. I just had to,
Well done.
I just saw you in the headphones for a second and I thought, yeah, I can't say.
You remembered where you were, yeah. The other one is writing an imaginary check, but don't you do that every single time.
Okay,
you're asking
I'm
for the
bad
bill.
For that. I'm but really bad that. To
absolutely.
The weird.
Well,
can I have the, please?
Exactly.
And, yeah, and people look
but
at me badly.
It's a universal thing. You can do that anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and it depends what country, because some might right to left and some left to right. But that's it, that's...
But I love the thing, and I have to say, finish my story off air, but the fact that when you're looking at a waiter and you're doing that gesture with your hand, the writing of the bill, it doesn't matter what your mouth is doing.
Right.
You know, you could mouth, if they're away in the distance, I mean, obviously if they're near you, you can say la cuenta, por favor, or whatever, but you could mouth anything as long as you're doing that with your hand.
I'm going to show you an alternative that I use in America where the service is so bad. I just sit there like this.
Oh, no. He's sitting there with his card, credit card stuck to his head.
Hopefully they'll walk past and they'll see.
They'll get it. We'll take a break and I'll finish that story off air.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Hedley Smith and Michael Senker. There's an article here that we talked about last week on Women Talk. I thought I'd save it to see what you guys thought. Will BA's jolly trendy jumpsuit take off? So here's the picture. So the flight attendants, the women, instead of having to wear skirts, they could now be wearing jumpsuits. Do we care? Do we think brilliant, good for them? Do we think it's not right? How do you feel about it?
I don't care.
No?
No, I don't know.
Sorry,
they look quite nice, though. Looks quite trendy,
nice.
Yeah.
How do you
It's a change. It's a change.
Yeah, I thought that as well, from a practical point of view.
I mean, if you're going a night out, I mean, my daughter's told me before that you have to go to the loo and you literally have to get undressed.
Yes, well, you need to take a friend with you. I have a jumpsuit and it's
phone
very difficult. Very difficult getting in and out. So it's
and what happens if you're out on your own?
I wouldn't wear it.
Okay, right.
Well, that's going to be difficult in an airplane toilet, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, take a friend in to go.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying that they want to just. On a flight where there's 200 people staring at them, right, and they all of a sudden they want to go to the loo, so you have to get another flight attendant.
Yes. Well, hopefully not. I don't know. I'm looking. It looks like it opens at the trousers, but then it doesn't look like it comes apart here, so it can't do. It must be from the back. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But
for the men as well?
No, this is just for the women.
Okay. Why can't the men wear boiler suits?
Well, I don't know. I think they're deemed. Maybe they could. I don't know.
I think that's discrimination.
Well, there you go. You see, this is the argument. Why can't the men wear the jumpsuits and the skirts, and the women wear the jumpsuits?
What
and the
is
trousers?
The ben? Tell me who's decided this? Is this the union, or is it somebody, in BA?
From a comfort point of view, so the women who are wearing skirts, most of the time, depending on the time of year, they'll be wearing tights with the skirts. And I think most women will know and understand that tights aren't necessarily the comfiest thing to be wearing when you're working. They're often wearing heels as well, walking up and down. You know, trousers can be more comfortable.
Okay.
So I think women have probably said loads over the years, why can't we wear trousers? Why do we have to wear skirts?
Okay, but one of the things about all female air attendants, cabin crew, whatever, right, why is it they all have to wear a skirt, obviously a size too small? I mean, if you ever travel Virgin Airlines, it's like, you know, what size are you? I'm a 12. Oh, here's an 8.
Yes, I don't know. That's silly.
I mean, they wear ridiculously tight uniforms.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe they were just to wear nice flowy skirts, or maybe that catches on something. I don't know.
There'd be problems with that.
Well, with the jumpsuit idea, I mean, if they're going for practicality and also for comfort, they should let them all wear trainers as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, why are they going up and down that aisle with high heels on?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? But having said that, isn't flying and with the likes of Virgin and all these people, it's all meant to be glamorous, isn't it? And glamorous.
Is it? It certainly was, but does it still need to be?
Well, with your knees up to your chest in a seat that's got like 18 inches of leg room.
Yes.
Right. For 12 hours flying to some destination. It's hardly luxurious.
But when you look at all the airline advertising, a lot of it is based around how glamorous the air hostesses look.
Oh, definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly Virgin and some of the sort of Emirates. They're all like that. So I'm not sure they're going to look as glamorous in a jumpsuit and trainers.
Well, definitely not, which is why there's an argument for it not changing. But then, you know, it's the whole thing. Does it need to be glamorous? Does that need to still continue or can it change?
All of a sudden, the glorious looking air hostess becomes looking like a plumber.
Well, yes.
I think you should leave it glamorous. There you go. There's my vote. You should leave it glamorous.
That's
why
your
not?
Opinion. There you see. Yeah. I'm guessing you think the same, Mike.
I just leave it. I just wonder that there's people sitting in offices or let's say that it's not. I mean, a lot of these things come across because something changes. I mean, like simple, like this thing, like apps on phones and things like that. Mm-hmm. Every single day, I get like 40 new updates on an app which was working perfectly well.
Yeah.
And so there's people just sitting there earning money or doing
making changes.
Oh, that looks good. That's great. Let's change it.
Yeah.
Now I know why you're called Mr. Grumpy. I'll tell you, I'm so pleased I'm on with you. Yeah, because he makes me look cheerful. Really?
I haven't even started.
This is him
tell
cheerful.
You what, that's fantastic.
Right. Miss Universe. This is a really interesting one. The new Miss Universe has called for a rise to the pageant's upper age restriction as she was crowned a couple of weeks ago now. Miss USA is the age of 28 and she is at the top of the age limit set by the contest. Delegates must be at least 18 years of age and under 28 years of age. The next Miss Universe contest, which will take place in El Salvador later this year, will allow mothers and married women to compete for the first time in its 71 year history. However, there are no planned changes to the age bracket despite the new rules. Now, I was thinking when I first read that, well, yeah, why can't married women and mothers take place? But then I thought, well, hold on, the contest is called Miss Universe for a start.
Right. Not Mrs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So where do we draw the line in terms of age? Should any woman be allowed to apply or should there be?
Well, I think a miss implies it's a woman, not necessarily whether married or not married, I suppose, to some extent. But
yeah.
I think they should let women up to the age of whatever enter. You know, do they really have to be under 28?
It's a strange one, isn't it?
That's my 50-year-old daughter.
Flashing photographs around now. There you go, she should enter.
No, there you go.
I swear, that's my 50-year-old daughter.
No, it's not.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's
late. Are you serious?
I think women of all ages should be allowed
to enter. I promise you.
Oh, my goodness, she looks amazing. I don't know whether you're joking or not.
No, I promise you. I promise you.
Okay, wow, amazing.
And the 35-year-old one's even better. No, I don't think any age group. If you want to enter a competition and you want to do it, do it. Why should there be an age group? If you're too old or you look wrong, you won't win.
I mean, some of the most iconic and beautiful women are in the 40s and 50s.
Mm.
So why are they not allowed to enter a beauty contest? That's very discriminative, I would say.
I really mean it. I mean, if you're 60 or 70 or 80 and you think that you can win it, don't be disappointed if you lose it, but why shouldn't you go in for it? What are they going to say? Oh, you're taking the place of some 22-year-old? But they've got plenty of time.
Mm. Well, it's Miss Universe. There's only I think there's one person per country, so it's not like they're...
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a Miss Universe. It should be universe competition.
Okay, so now you're changing the whole competition.
No, but what I'm saying is these days you can't do those sort of things.
No, well, exactly. It's the woke thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't go. You can't open a show. A comedian on a show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and then go rambling off. You can't say ladies and gentlemen. British Airways have stopped people. The announcement is no longer ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? That's really
so if someone wants to go in for a beauty competition, they think that they've got a chance, let them go in for it. Let them, you know, it's this whole thing. Don't you agree?
I totally agree.
If you feel... Okay, I just showed you a picture of my 50-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Right.
Looks amazing.
And I've got a 34-year-old who's even better.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have said it about your daughter, should
no,
you?
No.
You shouldn't have said that.
I like one more than the other.
You're not allowed to say that either.
I just did.
So you don't think there should be an age limit?
Absolutely
then?
Not.
Okay. Well, the issue is, as I said, there's one person representing each country. So obviously there'll be an audition process where, you know, however many hundreds of women are auditioning to become the representative for their country. So it could be open to anybody, but then the person that they choose to represent them probably
didn't
is going
didn't
to
they
be...
Stop this sort of
I didn't even think there was beauty competitions anymore.
Oh, no, there still is.
I thought they packed that in years ago, Miss World and all of that. Is that
still
exists?
I think everything's got... You know, I'm not being funny, but it's like if the... The advertising on TV now is a certain thing. You know, every advert has a full representation of everything. You've got a mixed race couple in it. You've got someone in a wheelchair. You've got somebody with special needs. Everything. You know, just selling a cake.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I think it's got. If you're going to do it, then you've got to do it everywhere. So you know why does Miss Universe have to be able-bodied?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, totally.
If you're going to start these things, you can't and turn around and say, if you're 28 or over 28, you can't be Miss Universe.
Mm.
Why not?
Okay, fantastic. I look forward to seeing a Miss Universe in her 70s, in a wheelchair. It's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Let's take a break. Good afternoon. You are listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Hedley Smith and Michael Senker. There's an article here talking about brownies, not the chocolate variety, brownies as in Girl Guides brownies. So it says here brownies have been around since 1915, but in Canada they're about to get a rebrand. Girl Guides will now call them Embers, as the name brownies is deemed harmful to ethnic minorities. Embers are full of potential, and when they work together, they can ignite a powerful flame. That's what the organisation has said. The decision to axe the name brownies was made after a current and ex-members said that it was a barrier to belonging for racialized girls and women. Group leaders said the move reflected the fact that girls experienced racism and felt they weren't welcome in Girl Guides. Since the move, families have been signing up for the first time because the name is more inclusive for their daughters. Wow, that's really interesting.
Wow, dear me.
The fact that more people are signing up since the name change proves that it really was an issue, you know.
I think that was going to be my point. If more people are signing up, then great. I think, you know, I'm in agreement if the more people are signing up. Were you in the Cubs or the Scouts?
So I look like I was in.
See, I was a Cub.
Yeah.
I had all the badges and everything. I had all the little badges. And
I did the brownies for a while.
Yeah, that was great. Never went in the Scouts though. I thought it was great, and I think it's positive for kids. So if more people are signing up. I think it's madness, but if more people are signing up, then it gets my vote.
Too much discipline for me. I couldn't do that. embers. Well, do you have to blow on them as well?
I don't know. I don't understand.
That's how you set them.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you go and blow on the embers?
Hopefully not.
That's Biden's job, isn't it? Joe Biden.
Oh, God, yeah.
As a very old man, you know, I just stop it. Just stop it. It's brownies, it's the Girl Guides, it's, you know, whatever it... Why? Why?
Yeah, I know, it does seem...
You know, it doesn't allow anything. What harm did it be called... So, in a minute, you won't be able to eat, like, a chocolate brownie because that's going to offend somebody.
Mm.
When does it stop?
Yeah. No, absolutely. That was my first reaction. It really was. I thought, but the dresses are brown, so it's talking about the fact that it's... Do you know what I mean? They're not getting the word brown out of anywhere. It's the colour brown, and that's where brownies comes from, because the dress you have to wear is brown. My cousin is a brown owl who runs the brownies and has been for, like, over 10 years, I think, she's been doing it now, and she loves it. And her daughter is, I think, in the rainbows. They're the younger ones. It's a big thing. It's a massive thing. I can't believe that it's an issue. But as I say, the fact that more people have been signing up since the name change proves it obviously was an issue. So, I mean, I think
and then they put, you see, the other thing is on the internet or wherever you put these things, anything you put online, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, instantly becomes true. That's actually the news. That's, you know, you can say anything you like for that moment in time. That's true, and you'll get loads of, you know, people make a sarcastic comment, and you'll get hundreds of reply. Yeah, right. I agree with you. Shouldn't be. So they've turned around and said X% has now increased registration or people that want to join the Embers or the Brownies. Well, I don't believe it. I just believe someone in an office has just gone. Tell them, you know, I was once on doing a talk somewhere, and they turned around and I said to someone, saying about, they said to me, what percentage do you invest back into buying stock? And I just quickly just turned around and said, 28.7%. And the bloke sitting next to me said, how did you know that? I said, I don't, I just made it up. But they don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That moment in time, it's true.
That was fact, yeah.
And, you know, you've just read something there and said X%. What is it? I don't know. Did you say a percentage?
I didn't say a percentage, but just more people.
More people. Prove it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good answer. Good answer. There's an article that comes out all the time, The One Lesson I've Learned from Life, and various celebrities are interviewed and talking about different things that they've gone through in their life, and there's like a statement that they come up with, and I always find it's often an interesting conversation point. And Louise Minchin, who was the BBC Breakfast host for a number of years, she said, it's never too late for a new start. And I thought that was a really good kind of interesting line to talk about. The fact that it doesn't matter how old you are, you can make a new start, whether it's a new relationship, whether it's a new career or starting a career. If you'd been retired for a number of years, just deciding, right, I'm going to do something else, whatever it may be, it's never too late for a new start. I thought that was a good
I like that message. Very positive, like that one. But with all these new starts, you've actually got to do something about it. There's that many people want to make a new start, and they all get all excited at the new year, and they're all going to do this, and they're all going to do that. My kids will be laughing if they listen to this right now, because I used to have this big sign on my door, and I had it on my door for years, and it said, "Nothing happens unless you make it happen." And I used to live by that rule every single day. So, yes, it's never too late for a new start, but you've got to do something about it.
Okay. Do you then, with having had that motto, are you constantly thinking things like that?
Absolutely, because if you don't do nothing, nothing happens. You know, if you put energy into something, something happens. So, you know, nothing happens unless you make it happen. And I live by that rule really since I've worked for myself really all my life. So I've never really had a job. I've just always, you know, been self-employed.
Yeah.
So if you don't do something in the morning and get up and get on with it and, you know, generate something, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's so apt, and I have to look at that more regularly now because my motivation is not as big as it used to be. But now I look at it a bit more. I've actually just put my sign back up in the office now. I've got it back up in the office now. Come on, Edley. Nothing happens unless you make it happen. So good thinking. What do you think of that, Michael?
Well, I'm very similar. I've never worked for anybody. I had one job when I was 14. That was it. I never had a job. I've always worked for myself as well. And I had a very similar sign that, you know, nothing happens unless you make it happen. Mine fell off and I could never be bothered to put it back up again.
That was a joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a joke.
I like it.
You see what I mean?
No, I think sometimes it's, you know, you're forced into making a new start. Like, you know, sometimes there's a bereavement or you've decided to give up a job which is so stressful that it's killing you, you know, mentally and physically, and then you'll do it. But I think, you know, it's a massive thing to do. I mean, it's just like when, I don't know how long you've lived here, or I know we lived here for 18, 19 years now. That was a massive step to uproot living in the UK, Sarah to start going to school here, etc., etc. So it can be done.
Yeah.
But of course, nowadays, it's not so easy.
No.
You know, when I was younger, when I was young, before computers, you know, you could do things so much easier.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You think things were easier before computers?
Computers and the web and all that is absolutely... I mean, you could go into a bank right, and borrow money, and it was just written down on a bit of paper.
Yeah.
Like you go in there and say,
oh, nice.
You say, I mean, you know, you go in there and say, like, oh, I need 10 grand. What do you need it for? I want to buy so and so. So, no one asks, oh, can you show me the. Can you go show me the website? Can you show me this? You know, if they wanted references, you go down to your local printer and get some printed up. Yeah, there was no anything now. As soon as anybody asks you anything, Google.
Yeah.
Google this, Google that. So life used to be to make a change and make a new start. You know, you could go, not that I ever did, but you could go move to a new town, call yourself Fred Bloggs, and start again.
Mm.
It's very hard nowadays to reinvent yourself in whatever form. And I'm talking about legitimate, you know, to start a new business. Everything is so stacked against you, you know. Everything you have to back
up.
Yeah, you have to back up with bank statements and this and references and where you lived and can you pay this and can you do that. So it's really hard to start a new business. To you know, even dating. I mean, you know, you used to go out for a drink and go to a pub, have a drink and meet people. Now you're at Bumble or Doodle or whatever it is.
But you say that it's never too late to make a new start. But I think that
it's a great catch.
A lot of people haven't really got it in them to make a new start.
Oh no,
there's another sort of, and I'm going to get shot down for saying this one. I can feel it coming. But there's my dad used to always tell me that, son, there's bulls and there's cows. Yeah. And like, and the bulls are the ones who sort of get on and make a new start and do things and get on. But there's a lot of people just happy with their lot and they just run with it.
Happy being cows. You're
happy being a cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for that reason.
Well, as long as they're happy.
Yeah.
That's the
thing. There you go.
What annoys me are cows that are constantly moaning about things not happening for them.
There you go.
That's what's annoying.
There you go.
I mean, I've made news. I mean, years and years ago, I made a couple of bad business decisions and I lost everything. I mean, literally, the house, everything went. Mm. Literally, we had nowhere to live. And then, you know, had to start again. It's forced on you. So it's a big difference. Sometimes it's forced on you and sometimes you just make the choice.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people want to make a choice voluntarily. I think a lot of people are forced to make a new start. And I feel really sorry for them these days because it's so hard. I mean, so many people I know that have come out here to start a new business, think they're going to be succeeding, have to go back with their tail between them. But I applaud anybody who can do it.
Yeah,
really,
definitely.
It's so hard.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a break there.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. With me in the studio today is Hedley Smith and Michael Senker. You're listening to Men Talk. I had a message from Robert earlier saying, you didn't give the answer to the competition. Sorry, no, I didn't. David Duchovny starred alongside Gillian Anderson in which sci-fi TV series that ran from 1993 to 2004? What's the answer?
X-Files.
Yay! The X-Files.
Do I get a prize?
You don't, I'm afraid, no. But you get a well done from me.
I've also had
a message from Max who says, hi Hannah, good show. We vote that Mr. Grumpy should be given a knighthood. He's a superhero.
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it? It's nice you get your kids to message.
I think someone called me a count the other day.
Well, you've got to take the highs with the lows, haven't you? Can't have it all. A count, say it correctly. Right, moving on to apparently there's been a rise of stay-at-home dads. The number of stay-at-home fathers has risen by a third since the start of the COVID pandemic, leading to a monumental shift in childcare responsibilities among British families. Many gave up office work during the pandemic to become house husbands, and then one in nine stay-at-home parents is now a father, up from just one in 14 3 years ago.
Is that due to... They became a father because they stayed at home with the wife, or
no. They became a stay at home father.
All right.
Instead of,
but are they still doing any work? Are they like working from home with a computer and sort of putting the kids in front of the TV whilst they're still earning some money?
I'm not sure. It doesn't.
Yeah. Are they just not working at all and doing all the washing and ironing and cooking and doing everything?
I don't know.
Because there's a big difference there.
There is a big difference. But I just thought it was an interesting one to talk about, the idea, because you're both businessmen and with that children of different ages, obviously, and but when you were dads, when your kids were young, were little, were you going out to work?
Oh yeah.
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 Well, absolutely. Well, I was a single dad for 10 years, so I looked after my daughters from the age of 8 and 9 up to 18, 20. So I had, you know, two daughters that I looked after full time for 10 years, I think it was.
Wow, amazing.
And and that was a job. But no, I still went out to work, you know, yeah. Still, you know, drop them off at school and then juggle all your appointments around that and go pick up again and make sure you've got the tea ready in the crock pot in the morning so it's ready when they come in and stuff like that. But yeah.
You're my hero.
it was best job I've ever had.
Oh, that's nice.
So there you go.
That's good.
I can't beat that.
You look stunned.
I missed it, actually.
I'm out.
Yeah. And the winner is by knockout in the first round.
Yeah. So you couldn't have done it, no?
No. 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 Okay. I mean, I don't know if I'd had to do it, maybe, but, you know, my work just wouldn't allow it.
No.
You know, it was travel backwards and forwards. Mm. I used to travel to America a lot. I'm even worse. I miss birthdays and sports days and, trying to, you know, get back what I'd lost and also, you know, make a future. But I couldn't. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No.
Well, well done you, Hedley. You did.
Well, I'm not after any praise for it. It was great, you know, and I think a lot of dads miss out on things like that, to be honest.
Yeah, no,
you know, because, you know, I had the privilege sort of to be able, I was the mum, I was the dad, I was the driver, I was the cook, I was this, I was the whole lot, and all of it, you know,
I mean, I did
paid back, you know, because it was nice, you know, but I've had enough of it now, like, that's you know they're old enough to look after themselves now.
If Patty was going out and, you know, obviously I'd look after the baby, I'd look after my daughter, but I couldn't be a stay-at-home. The thing here is talking about a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah.
I couldn't wake up in the morning, get the kids to school and do this and do that and then go out and work and then try and make sure that I'm back by 4 o'clock, you know.
But since COVID, like, there's so many people working from home now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all sitting there and they've got their home office and they've got their laptop, and I can imagine that they'll be thinking, well, I tell you what, you get yourself a way out. You'd be saying that to the wife. You say, get yourself a way out and earn some money. I'll stop out here and look after the kids. Yeah. So that's a way, to some extent,
that I'll work in from home nonsense.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Nobody works from home. They do some work from home. They're not.
But
don't tell me they sit themselves down at 9:30, get up at 1 o'clock for lunch, and then get back down at 2 o'clock and sit there till 5:30. They're doing a bit. Oh, hold on a minute. Lorraine's on the table. What is that?
Couple of biscuits, you know, a bit of coffee, and then, you know, But
hold the line, caller. Your call is important to us.
But my
green sleeves for 10 minutes while I say, "What's the end of Lorraine?"
I mean, my son, he's 28 and he's a lawyer, amazingly enough, and he works 5 days a week from home as a lawyer.
Really?
They don't even go into the office. He has to go in 1 day a week, and
that's crazy.
So he lives in Newcastle. He now works for a Sheffield company, and he goes into the office 1 day a week, and the rest of the week he's at home, sitting there in his bedroom doing lawyer stuff, you know.
Wow.
and they're all doing it, not just
I'm not trying to top your
they all do it.
Sarah's a forensic psychologist,
right,
and she works from home a lot of the time, because she's doing papers where she'll go to the prisons or wherever she has to do her work, gather the information, but she doesn't work from an office. She comes home and works and does the reports and everything.
And this has been home. Since COVID again?
No, she, always.
Oh, really?
This is how her business
happened,
because, you know, that one day she'll be in Bristol, another day she'll be in Liverpool, another day she'll be in Doncaster or Chelmsford, I think she went this week, and then she comes, she gathers all the information, but she doesn't need an office.
No.
All she needs is computers and a bit of Wi-Fi, and she can work anywhere. That's why she can come out here. You know, she'll come out here for a holiday, but she'll bring two computers with her and be working. She rents a bit of office space just so peace and quiet in Fengarola, because it's too noisy at home, obviously, because I've got the television on all the time. She'll go in there just so that she works. She finds herself a nice work environment, because her home is her work environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand. I get it.
Yeah. I still don't think you get as much work done as home. At home, you can't. No. I mean, you know, it's so too many distractions. You might, you know, I'll go and put the washing on, or I'll go and do this, or I'll go and do that, or I'll nip out to the shops and get something for tea. And it's like, so yeah. But as so many people working from home now, especially in the UK, I mean, it's outrageous how many people are working from home. Yeah. None of them didn't even go back to the office, did they? They all just stayed at home.
No, I had a thing here with Vodafone when the pandemic thing was on, and I phoned Vodafone and the woman there, I asked her to put me through to another department, and she said, I can't. I'm working from home. All I can do is answer the questions that I know the answers to. I've got no way of putting you through to any other department.
Gosh, that's weird, isn't it?
Mm.
That's really weird. It's said on the news just now that Alec Baldwin is going to be charged with involuntary manslaughter for that gun shooting
on the film
when
set.
He was on the film set, yeah, last year. That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, it's America. You know,
yeah.
You know,
what's that got to do with it?
Well, it's America. I mean, the place lives on litigation.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get sued for everything. It's a ridiculous. Who knows what happened?
You know, no, I know. It's really difficult to try and.
He didn't bring the gun onto set. It was given to him by, I think, the armory department or something.
And then
he did something, he pointed it, whatever. But, you know, you're talking about a lunatic country.
Yeah.
That, you know, that they have thousands and thousands and thousands of people killed every year by guns.
I mean, you'd assume it was a horrendous accident.
Mm, yeah.
Hopefully there's no kind of dispute that it was anything other than an accident. But obviously for her poor family, their kids lost their mother.
I can't believe for a second he did it on purpose.
No, not at all.
Well, but now he's going to be banged up for it.
He doesn't know that. Whether that's the armourer gives him a gun on the film, and he's messed about with it and pointed it or not. I don't even know what happened exactly, but I think he pointed it at the person.
Yeah,
and it had live ammunition in it. So
it's shocking. Shocking.
Right, terrible.
We're coming to the end of the show. I wanted to just ask you, Hedley, because you've got we had you on the show a few months ago now because you were taking your motorcycle and a load of teddy bears to Ukraine for the kids over there. And
as you do,
and you've organised a charity night, which is coming up.
We have, yeah, on the Saturday, the 11th of February. We're doing a charity night at the All-in-One Cafe in Monte Halcon is there, just up the Ronda Road. And it's a night of rock. And we've got rock music on all night with a Queen tribute act. And got some mega prizes as well on the raffle, thanks to everyone who's donated some great stuff. But yeah, Angus and I went to the Ukraine in November there, and we promised we would raise some funds for, you know, the displaced children of war and the families of war, because it's horrendous to see. You know, you've got all of these kids and women and children that have been displaced from the east of the country to the west of the country, and they're living in port cabins, and they need the essential aid. You know, they need blankets, they need socks, they need anything. So what we're going to try and do is raise as much money as possible, and we're going to take that money to Warsaw. We're going to fly into Poland, go to Warsaw, and we'll volunteer our services to take some vehicles into the Ukraine, but we're going to fill them up with a cash and carry with aid, with all
Brilliant.
The money that we've raised.
So you'll be doing it all yourselves?
Yeah. Well, as me and Angus are going back in, the midlife bikers, and we're looking for a few volunteers. Do you want to come along, Michael?
Where to?
Ukraine. Do you want to come?
Sure.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that in the middle of March. So we're going to raise as much money as we can, and I hope everyone can come, because it's going to be great.
Yes.
And every single cent goes to the charity. And the All-in-One Cafe has paid for the band. Yeah?
Oh,
he's paid
nice.
The band, which is a lot of money. This is a big band, you know, and they're going to blow the roof off. So
Brilliant.
So the All-in-One Tennis has paid for the band. And
I expect it will sell out quickly, won't
yeah,
it? People
we've
need
we've
to book.
Sold a lot of tickets already.
Right.
So go to the All-in-One and get your tickets, or contact the Midlife Bikers on if you go on the email or what have you, and search us out, and I'll organise it for you.
Brilliant. So we can find you on Facebook and things,
yeah.
Midlife Bikers.
Midlife Bikers, yeah.
And contact you that way. And it's on the 11th.
Saturday the 11th. Yeah,
Saturday.
Starting at 7. They do their first We Will Rock You at 7:30.
Brilliant. Sounds good. Have you ever been into bikes, Michael?
No.
No?
No. hate them.
I was just wondering whether you'd ever ridden a motorbike or anything. No.
Yeah, it was possibly the craziest thing I've ever done. I didn't realise how far it was, actually. It was to ride from here all the way to Lviv in Ukraine, was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. It took 6 days. Solid riding to get there, 700 kilometres a day, and it was freezing.
I don't mind driving a car or a lorry or something.
But it was worth it, though. I couldn't
ride a motorbike.
The whole experience was a little bit life-changing, really.
Oh, I bet.
It was to see it. And we hadn't bargained for it at all, because the day we were there distributing the teddy bears to the kids was the day that Russia sent the second biggest airstrike into Russia. Yeah. There was 120 missiles came into Russia, into Ukraine that day, 12 of which coming into Lviv, where we were. And we were very close to three of them. But it was an amazing thing. But the Ukraine people... What resilience these people have, inspirational, how, you know, they're just so like, yeah, come on, you know, and they just shrug it off, you know, it's like, is that the best you can do? Yeah. You know, they're so resilient. It's outrageous. So
amazing. Yeah. Well done you. So yeah,
round of applause for that. Absolutely. No, serious. I mean, serious. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's nice. You're being serious, aren't you?
I'm being serious.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you both very much. Have you got any plans this weekend?
I don't know if that was Patty.
Not sure. What about you?
I'm not allowed to make decisions like that.
I don't know. Fancy a little ride on the bike again.
Oh,
yeah,
why not?
That'll do. Yeah.
Why not? I'm going to Marrakesh tomorrow.
Ooh.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Been there. Okay, have you?
Yeah. No. I heard you talking about it. Okay. You're going with a bunch of girls, yeah? You said that. Yeah. I heard you talking about it before.
Us, yeah.
It's great. You've got to have your wits about you.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Certainly in the Medina, you have to be, you know, pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Because you can, and the tip of the day is never look at your telephone. Yeah.
Right.
Or like look at a map or anything like that. All these people come out of the woodwork and they're like, where do you need to go? I'll help you. And then before you know it, they're trying to get money out of you.
Don't let people carry your case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you come out of the airport, I'll carry your case to the car, carry your case to the taxi.
You have to, when you're in the Medina, you have to just look like you're an absolute local and you know exactly where you're going. Even if you don't know where you're going, pretend you do.
We're going to get a guide. That helps.
Been recommended. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm taking a handbag.
Not a brownie.
Exactly. A guide, not a brownie. We're going to get some embers to show us around them. And I'm going to have a handbag, the one that goes across the body. So I'm not having a big on the shoulder handbag, one that goes across. So that's safer.
Tuck it down your pants.
No.
I mean, it's safe. It's safe.
We're finishing the show. We'll end there, I think, definitely. Bye all. Thank you.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.